papermen meet such interesting people. They know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known. For I meet politicians and grafters by the score, killers plain and fancy, it's really quite a bore. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They wallow in corruption, crime and gore. Ting-a-ling-ling, city desk, pull the press, extra, extra, read all about it, it's a mess, meets the test. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the press. Now you remember Mrs. Sadie Smuggery.
The Media Project is a half hour of commentary and analysis on the topics that are of interest to us in the news media, and giving you some insight into ethical decision-making in newsrooms. I'm Rex Smith of the Upstate American, formerly editor of the Times Union, here with my colleagues Barbara Lombardo, Judy Patrick, and our producer David Gustina. So let's see what's on our mind today. Judy Patrick, former editor of the Daily Gazette of Schenectady, what are you fired up about today?
You know, the Trump administration has been picking on the news media, especially the big guys, a lot, you know, over the last 8 years or so. But they started to pick on the little guys, a small newspaper in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And you know what? That's crossed the line for me.
Okay. We're going to find out about that. Barbara Lombardo, formerly executive editor of the Saratogian and the Record of Troy. What are you thinking about?
I'm thinking about what Judy's thinking about, but also I have some broad concerns about lies in the media, and I'd like to have some thoughtful discussion about how we're supposed to handle lies that we're told so that we're not giving it the weight of real news.
I think you make a strong point there.
Assuming she's not lying.
Right, we believe so. David Gustina, our producer, morning host, and producer of actually a lot around here at WAMC, what's going on?
I'd like to know more about what we would call an elongated yellow fruit.
I'll tackle that later on.
I bet we'll hear about that.
Yeah, stay tuned.
All right. Well, let's talk about lying. Let's launch on that. And we're actually provoked to do this by a very thought-provoking essay published on Substack, written by Dick Toefel, who is former president of ProPublica, co-founder of ProPublica, used to be associate publisher of the Wall Street Journal. And Dick Toefel wrote this really interesting piece where he talks about the fact that lying is important to us. It ought to be anathema to the news media because fundamentally, journalism is about giving people a true view of what lies beyond their own experience, what they can't see themselves, truth being fundamental to what we do. And it is a cardinal sin of our profession to allow lies into print. Yet, we are really overwhelmed by lies these days from public officials, and it's a really tough thing to figure out. Toefel cites, for example, very strong reporting by the New York Times on the flooding in Texas, in the Texas Hill Country, pointing out that FEMA literally failed to answer the vast majority of their phone calls for days. And after then reporting this, literally thousands of emergency calls to FEMA didn't get answered. Then the Times story goes ahead and gives a quote from a spokesperson saying FEMA's disaster call center responded to every caller swiftly and efficiently, ensuring no one was left without assistance. A flat out lie by the FEMA flack. And so what do you do about that? Barbara, you're first. You're the one who wanted to talk about this.
Yeah. So who are you going to believe? What you see and hear and read and know to be true, or your lion eyes coming from the courtesy of Kristi Noem and her gang? That was great reporting by the New York Times, where they actually documented the answering of the calls, and they explained why, I think the first day or two or three, that only 36% of 2,300 calls were answered. And after that, over 10,000 calls, only 5 out of 6 were answered. They explained why, so they provided numbers that are accurate. They provided the explanation that Kristi Noem had not bothered to renew the contracts with the people who are supposed to be answering the calls. But then we go on and we hear this quote from an anonymous person. So what are you supposed to do about this? Is one, don't let it just sit there. Two, don't put it ahead of the actual news. The news is that the calls were not answered. And one of the things I disagreed with, it is a really good piece by Toefel, and I recommend people to check it out on Substack. It's free. He's suggesting that you boil down, instead of giving somebody a whole big fat paragraph of their denial, to just say, for instance, in this case, the administration denied that the calls weren't answered. I don't think that is enough. I disagree with that. I think you need to call them out saying the administration flatly stated the opposite of the truth, claiming that every call was answered when in fact they weren't. And not to use anonymous sources. Duh.
That's point.
You know, we have to realize that the media is a platform, and we have to really be more careful about who we platform. I even, you know, the idea of just running these Donald Trump rambling tirades, which he press gaggles, I mean, it's full of lies. I hate that the fact that the Sunday morning talk shows, you know, Face the Nation, Meet the Press, they platform people who just get on and tell lies. Now, we've had this discussion before about the fact that it's important to put people of influence and power and get them on the record saying things. But when they're saying lies, it's almost impossible to fact check them in real time. I think the cable stations are doing a better job of doing that. But I think calling something a flat out lie, you know, we need to do that more. I hate the fact that we platform so much of it.
And people are going to say that politicians always quote unquote lie when they're really trying to say that they put a spin on things. And sometimes you're teetering over the line between trying to put a positive spin and just flat out lying.
Oh, yeah, like President Donald Trump did in an interesting press conference that may have flown over the radar for many, where he said he was going to reduce drug prices. And he named several numbers. Many of them, in fact, all of them made no sense. And we're going to reduce them by 1,000%, by 700%, by 600%. He's just rattled off these numbers. But as one person I heard John Oliver say, when you reduce something by 100%, it's free. If you reduce it by 1,000%, the drug companies are going to be paying you money. Where are the journalists stopping him? Mr. President, that doesn't make any mathematical sense. Well, part of the reason they're not there, many of them, is because he's handpicking people to be at his press conferences, right, that agree with him, people who love him, right? And if you don't like him, you get punished. And on top of all that, we have a climate in which half of the American people are told the New York Times is fake news. So there you are citing the New York Times, Barbara. But this president has successfully turned many established, credible news organizations to be viewed as fake news by nearly half this population. They won't even give it any credit. So we're already undermined even when we are reporting.
It's a really difficult situation because we have a different standard of truth-telling in a certain category of the media. Sadly, it is a political divide. That is, Fox News, folks, is not a trustworthy news source. Yet, Fox News is the principal news source of 69% of Republicans. This new statistic that is just out today. 4 in 10 Americans regularly get news from Fox. Fox, which intentionally distorts news. Fox, which intentionally does not cover some stories that are unfavorable to the administration.
Was sued and paid for lying in the past.
Exactly.
And didn't cover that.
And has gone on record in sworn testimony saying that they're really not news. They're more entertainment. They know they're not news, even though they do have a few news programs.
Which really plays into what Rex has said for so many years, that television is primarily an entertainment medium. Right?
I used to get in a lot of trouble for that on this program, of course, but I don't know how you avoid it. The presentation of news on television, let's remember, is called a show. And a show has always been defined as something that entertains. So let's just be clear that if you're not entertaining enough, you're not going to get people. Now, I don't denigrate the notion of needing to get people's attention. I think, for example, we serious journalists need to be doing what we can to reach the TikTok audience. We need to learn how to deliver our headlines, at least, in an engaging way to draw those people in. But you have to be committed to truth-telling.
There's a big scientist out there that's always doing experiments online, African-American scientist, I'm just forgetting his name. TikTok now has STEM, and he's advertising this. Go to TikTok, there is a STEM link, and it will teach you all about space and experiments and physics. So there is a way to maybe do that with journalism.
Yeah, I think there is a possibility. There is potential for journalism on digital media in the same way that Zoran Mamdani showed how digital media can be used effectively in campaigning and managed to get himself as the Democratic nominee for mayor of New York. Similarly, for journalists, we ought to take a lesson from that and figure out how can we effectively use that medium to deliver news, always with the commitment to truth-telling, not to just entertaining.
Well, let's start our own TikTok organization.
Go ahead.
I'll be a student in your class, David. I would like to discuss a little bit about Dick Toefel's suggestion that one of the things that the media can do is to ban the liars. Don't give the liars their platform. Mm-hmm. And that sounds like makes sense in theory, but that is a difficult, are you going to say we're not going to give Donald Trump a voice anymore, or we're not going to give the cabinet members
a voice? Call it an enemies list.
How do you go about doing that?
For example, in Israel, we have the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, saying that there was no problem with starvation in Gaza, when there clearly was.
And is.
And how does the media handle that? Because in the initial few days of him saying that, I saw news reports where people were saying, this is being overplayed, this is not true, when in fact, the media, the mainstream media, the real media, has been doing a stellar job for 2 years covering the problem with getting aid supplies into Gaza, the problem with medical care there. This is not something that's been ignored, but I think Netanyahu thinks if he just says it, maybe people will believe it.
Oh, my goodness. NPR has been interviewing people who are living in Gaza right now who are struggling to feed their children. I mean, this is a bunch of nonsense, but this is part of what this new world is all about. Given what I just said about Trump demonizing the media, follow it from there. Now you look at other politicians taking advantage of this, and it snowballs. Then you add in that there is real fake video out there. And it gives a little bit of credibility to people when they start to now say, well, that's not really true. It's false video coming in.
The ecosystem that supports lying is unfortunately widespread. It includes, well, the source of this interview with Netanyahu that you're referring to was the Christian television network Daystar. Now, Daystar is a network that produces content that is widely distributed by American evangelical churches. And I think people need to understand, I'm sorry, folks, that the ecosystem of lies includes a lot of American churches. So this is a difficult thing for us to swallow, and it is hard to report. It's hard to get this in front of people. And after all, it's especially hard, I think, on a medium such as that which we're sitting, where we're sitting, public broadcasting, where we still have this notion, well, maybe someday public funding, that is taxpayer funding, will come back to this wonderful platform. I guess that's not possible because you can't cater to the liars in an effort to try to placate them and get them to say, well, maybe we'll give you your $1 billion back.
Well, that's the real danger. It's the self-censorship. It's all this fear. It's caving into lawsuits, which the media shouldn't have to do in any of these examples, including CBS. And now you see Trump is turning toward ABC and NBC. And of course, this strategy is to put a chill in the legitimate media and to make sure those who are reporting on the administration are reporting nicely, you know, and having due respect for the president.
To David's point, the head of the FCC has now stepped forward to say that they are going to be investigating Comcast, which owns ABC, mm-hmm. and the president has targeted both NBC and ABC in his social media feed. The FCC can't just revoke a license because of content, but let's say authority can be bent. The FCC certainly can exercise some authority to regulate and investigate how stations are treated by their network's affiliates. So there are a lot of ways the federal government can manipulate.
You know, in keeping with that, I'd like to give a shout out to Ana Gomez. She is the lone Democrat on the Federal Communications Commission. And she has been speaking out, and she voted against the Skydance deal and has actually now been speaking out. I don't know how long before she's a former member of the FCC. But she's not going quietly if she does end up going. She's speaking out, and I think that's really important to listen to.
I wanted to point out, by the way, guys, and I wonder what you think about it, is that there's another lawsuit that was issued by Trump against Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah, clearly a lawsuit that, again, like most of his lawsuits, I don't know if there have been any that have gone any further than being dismissed for cause. I think there is no validity to this, but, you know, he is still, he sued Murdoch and the Wall Street Journal after the Journal reported, apparently truthfully, about the sketch that he sent to Jeffrey Epstein.
And then he lied about it.
Lied. I never wrote a drawing.
And then the drawings appeared almost immediately. And that's a good job by the press.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. No drawing. Here are the drawings.
Right. The standard of truth telling, which we were talking about earlier. But now, again, the president has now removed the Wall Street Journal from the press pool that accompanied him to Scotland.
That's pretty bad then when it's the Wall Street Journal that he's mad at, don't you think?
Yeah.
Ironic.
Absolutely. And you'll notice, by the way, to the previous point about Fox News, Fox News has not reported about the lawsuit against Rupert Murdoch. So
that's shocking, right?
Yeah.
You know, and it has all us media types saying, you know, being yay Fox News, yay Rupert Murdoch for sticking up. Trump has been very successful in filing these lawsuits, and eventually people cave. I don't think Murdoch has a big mega merger before the FCC he has to worry about, so maybe he'll stand strong. But I noticed that the Trump people wanted to needle Rupert a little bit by saying, we need to dispose him very quickly because he's 94 years old and he could go anytime. It's like when Brendan Carr, the FCC head, says that, you know, you need to investigate anybody that disparages the Trump administration policies. It almost makes me want to throw up. I mean, it's just so wrong. This is not what it should be about. And trust me, I think this is just the beginning. They're only 6 months into their term. They're going to come after public media in other ways and every kind of media. And to my point, the fact that they came after the Minneapolis Star Tribune for just reporting about ICE raids. Every small newspaper out there is doing this. I mean, the Minneapolis Star Tribune is not necessarily small.
No, it's a major city newspaper, yeah. And it's won Pulitzer Prize.
And what news organization? What news organization isn't going to follow law enforcement wherever they are and whatever they're doing? And they're just using it as an excuse. You're aiding and abetting the quote-unquote illegals.
Just to explain what actually happened, because we might be leaving our listeners a little bit in the dark.
Context.
There was a press release issued by the White House that targeted the Minneapolis Star Tribune with the headline, "This newspaper continues to run shameful interference for illegal immigrants." That's a White House press release. Because the Minneapolis Star Tribune reported that ICE wants to deport a Wisconsin driver charged with being drunk, causing a crash that killed two Minnesota teens. The White House press office was upset that it used the phrase Wisconsin driver as opposed to illegal immigrant from Honduras and didn't use the phrase innocent teenagers. So it's just a matter of nuance, but it led the White House to attack this newspaper.
Should they have said illegal immigrant?
Oh, well, illegal immigrant is, well, there are a couple of issues there. It's a headline and how much space do you actually have? Yeah. You know, you have to.
It's a lot of letters.
Did they say in the body of it that the person was from Honduras?
It's a term.
Yeah, I think that's a really lame excuse that you can't use anymore now that you don't have to write for a print headline.
Yeah.
But I think it's problematic because you are, as an editor, you're always trying to choose what are the most important keywords to have in a headline. And are you trying to tell people that an illegal immigrant did something terrible? Are you trying to tell somebody that it was a Wisconsin resident, that it was a driver, whatever? So I understand why the White House, coming from their point of view, why they want to emphasize that. But I think that's dangerous and unfair. And unless their immigrant status was relevant to what happened.
I think we're really close to having state-run news media. They're just going to tell us what we can print and what we can't. I mean, call it the Gulf of America. I mean, those are the rules. You can't do anything else. Just succumb. We've reached almost a tipping point, and the media's got to stand up. I mean, we've got to do more standing up. We've got to do more. This is a lie.
That's a
flat-out lie.
That illegal immigrant material has happened over the last several years, even before Trump. In press releases, when the Saratoga Springs City Police or the state police up there, they would be arresting somebody, you know, in a traffic accident that was big enough to be worth a press release, that the person was an illegal immigrant. And was it even relevant to the story, or was it worth stressing in the story? That's really an important question to be thinking about when you're deciding how to report.
I think people often don't realize how often this is the kind of conversation you have in a newsroom. What's really relevant to the story? What is a fact that is worth saying, or what's not fair, or what is ancillary to it.
The other thing that got my goat in that press release from the White House was not only that it demonized that newspaper and puts a target on their back, but the press release went on to say that, of course, they're taking their cues from serial illegal immigrant defender Tim Walz and the state's other quote-unquote pro-sanctuary politicians who'd rather see killers, rapists, and gangbangers left on the streets than sent where they belong. That was outrageous. That is crazy stuff to even say. It's the nerve of the White House to be singling out. Does anybody in their right mind really believe that Tim Walz would like to see rapists and killers on the streets?
Yes. Yes, there are people that believe that because they believe what they're saying, Barbara. The truth is you're showing where we are in this, but you're not acknowledging that there are plenty of people who believe that. I talked to one of them recently who believes all this kind of stuff, and it's because they believe their influencer is this president, and whatever he says goes. That's the danger of what's happening right now. And you keep talking about ecosystems. What's the media ecosystem? It's being torn apart by social media. Then you add some of the most legitimate news sources we have, like public media, like 60 Minutes. And we see where the funding has gone for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. We're going to see rural public stations failing. People are going to be getting less accurate news. So this whole thing, if you want to put it for those people who like Trump, is a brilliant strategy, and he's instituting it very effectively.
Yeah. But there used to be a difference between an official government press release and a campaign press release.
No more.
Yeah, that's totally gone.
I was a congressional press secretary in my youth, and I actually had to be very careful about what I would write in our press releases and in our newsletters that we send out under the FRANC, you know, the free mailing privilege that members of Congress have. We were very careful to be nonpartisan. That clearly has gone by the wayside. Not that I didn't understand that my job was to quote Emily Dickinson, tell all the news, but tell it slant, success and circuit lies, you know. That is, I was giving the news with a slant to it, but it was not what we would now see as being the overt partisanship. And back to our original topic, and lies that now go out under taxpayer funding.
It's the summer of lies, Rex.
And I can't believe that Rex pulled a Emily Dickinson quote out of his
head. He's got a bunch of them. He'll get more esoteric.
I'm working on a limerick that my father taught me and seeing if I can clean it up for this for this show.
Folks, if you have your views that you'd like to share with us, we are media at WAMC.org. We're the Media Project from Northeast Public Radio. I'm Rex Smith here with Barbara Lombardo, Judy Patrick, and our producer, Dave Gustina. And now, David, you said something about yellow fruit. What was this?
Elongated yellow fruit. Well, Barbara really should say it because it was her experience,
Barbara.
But I loved it.
Well, what made me think about it was an article by Roy Peter Clark, who has been around a long time in the world of journalism and has, I think, influenced a lot of people in a positive way to be better journalists. And I think that he said that he didn't even come up with this, but his editors, who edited it all the way back to Ben Franklin or whatever, this had to do with dogs, not the fruit. I learned every dog has a name and everybody eats. So if you're trying to write things that people are going to relate to, those are two of the things. And if you're going to write a story about animals or dogs or somebody's pet, you always want to get the name.
Get the name of the dog. Find out what they're eating, what they're drinking.
Well,
I mean, all these are details that go into a story that bring them to life.
Yeah, it's a banana, not an elongated yellow fruit.
Right. So that one of my journalism professors back at Ohio State, I remember saying, beware of the elongated fruit syndrome. And we're like, what? And he said, if it's a banana, call it a banana. Don't be coming up with synonyms or forced words. If it's the snow, don't be calling it white stuff. But the elongated fruit syndrome I teach to my journalism students. It's
and
a banana.
And the story that Roy Peter Clark was referencing was about a dog that I think defended his family from a bear. But the dog's name was Doodle.
Doodle.
It changes the whole story.
It does.
And you need the dog's name to tell that story.
And personalized stories draw people in more than non-personalized stories.
Absolutely. Detail matters. So that's one of your little writing tips for the day, folks, courtesy of the Media Project, which means we're out of time.
What?
This show
should be 15 minutes.
All right, you heard it there from our producer, Dave Gustina. Thanks also to Barbara Lombardo and to Judy Patrick, and I'm Rex Smith. Thank you for joining us here, and we hope you come back and join us again next week right here on The Media Project.
Newspapermen are such interesting people. when they know they've got a people's fight to wage. Ting-a-ling-a-ling, newspaper guild, got a free new world to build. Meet the people, that's a thrill, all together fits the bill. Oh, newspapermen are such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the guild. Now, you remember Mrs. Sadie Smuggery. She wanted money to buy a new fur coat. To get insurance, she employed skullduggery.
The Media Project is a national production of WAMC, Northeast Public Radio. This week's projectors include former Times Union editor and current Upstate American Substack columnist Rex Smith, Judy Patrick, vice president for editorial development for the New York Press Association and former editor of the Daily Gazette, and Barbara Lombardo, adjunct professor at the University at Albany and former editor of the Saratogian. You can listen to The Media Project anytime at WAMCpodcast.org or anywhere you get your podcasts. I'm your producer, David Gustina. Thanks for listening.
Now, newspapermen are such interesting people. They used to work like hell just for romance. But finally, the movies notwithstanding, they all got tired of patches on their pants. They organized a union to get a living wage. They joined with other actors upon a living stage. Now, newspapermen are such interesting people. When they know they've got a people's fight to wage. Ting-a-ling-a-ling, newspaper guild, got a free new world to build. Meet the people, that's a thrill, all together fits the bill. Oh, newspapermen are such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the guild. Now, publishers are such interesting people. Their policy is an acrobatic thing. They claim to represent the common people. It's funny, Wall Street never has complained. Ah, but publishers have worries, for publishers must go to working folks for readers and to big shots for their dough. Now, publishers are such interesting people. It could be prostitution, I don't know. Ting-a-ling-a-ling, circulation, ting-a-ling-a-ling, advertising, get those readers, get that payoff. What a headache, what a mess. Oh, publishers are such interesting people. Let's give 3 cheers for freedom of the press.